Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odds. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the greats check too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short.
Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Well, welcome inside the playbook, everybody, for a Wednesday. It is our final show of the 2009 portion of the season as we try to cram 3 days worth of shows into two here before taking New Year's Eve and, of course, New Year's Day off, and then getting ready to have the Patriots take on the Houston Texans in Houston this Sunday. And then, of course, we'll get back on a semi-regular schedule next week when the playoffs, and we can start actually talking about something along the lines of the playoffs next week and underway. I am John Rook, and the reason that it sounds a little bit funky here is because I'm on the road with some college basketball duties tonight, as I just told the PFW guys, but I am at the College Football Hall of Fame in South Bend, Indiana, one of my favorite places to always get to, even though it's only going to be here for a couple more years before it relocates to Atlanta, Georgia. It's still always a fun visit to go by, and so we thought we'd take advantage of the opportunity today with some time to kill and look at some football stuff and actually look at some of the former Patriots that are in the Hall of Fame, the College Football Hall of Fame here in South Bend. But we are going to spend some time here right off the top talking about the matchup this weekend with the Houston Texans. I would ask you as fans very simply today to respond via email. webradio@patriots.com is the email address, of course. But how much should the Patriots starters play? If you were Bill Belichick, how much would you let the players play? Not at all, a quarter, two quarters, or the whole thing? So choose from those choices. And let me know what you think in terms of the Patriots starters, because I have some friends who live in Houston. Dale Robertson, who covers the Texans for the Houston Chronicle, he joined us here in the program as well. And Dale, all of my friends are saying, hey, we're hearing that the Patriots are going to put their B team on the field against the Texans. Is there any truth to that? And I didn't really know what to tell them other than to tell them, well, consider what Bill Belichick's track record is. Consider the fact that the Patriots have already clinched something. The game against the Texans means nothing to New England as opposed to meaning everything for the Texans, so kind of read into it whatever you'd like to. But what do the Texans think they're going to get from the Patriots?
Well, I don't know what the Texans think, John. Actually, they haven't. I'm heading over there shortly to find out exactly what they think on that subject. I can say unequivocally, however, the fans are kind of hoping the Patriots will play the practice squad. How many guys you got on the practice squad?
Anything you need to get an edge. You know what? If I were a Texans fan, I would feel the exact same way. All you should care about is getting a win.
Well, you know, I'm sure there's, you know, for the purest football fan in Houston, there will be some mixed emotions here. The reality is the Texans do indeed have a playoff shot here, but it's still fairly slim. And if I'm a fan in Houston, a connoisseur of football, I mean, do I want to watch Tom Brady play regardless of the circumstances? Of course I do. So the serious football fan in Houston will be a little conflicted on this, but clearly the Texans have no chance if they lose. Therefore, whatever Belichick chooses to do in terms of taking it easy on them will be much appreciated by the casual fan and probably by the Texans, although they will never say that. They will take the high road and say, oh, no, we want to beat the best. So.
Sure, and I think that's the way most professionals would probably take it. Now, overall, Dale, if you could put a percentage on this, what do you think the Texans' chances are actually getting into the postseason?
Well, given that they need two good things to happen out of three possible things. And before we go further on that, you know, they fully understand that they've gotten themselves in this bind. I mean, there's no way this is an 8-7 football team. Mm-hmm. They've played five of their losses have been close. Four of them should have gone into overtime, frankly. They lost on two last second field goals that would have forced overtime. They lost a fumble in the last seconds that would have forced overtime, and they were stopped at the 1 yard line in the last seconds that would have forced overtime. You would have think the law of averages would have got them at least one of those games, which would have positioned them a little bit better, and two of them would of course put them in. So, you know, they've made this bed, therefore they've got to sleep in it. Well, okay, you've got the, the Jets playing the Bengals. The Bengals are in the same position the Patriots are in. Absolutely zero to gain. Why would you play anybody?
Right.
Certainly against that Jets defense. You got to be crazy. You saw what the Colts made, right?
That's absolutely.
And then the other two teams factor into this. Okay, you got the Broncos and the Chiefs. Well, I mean, does anybody really think the Chiefs are going to win that game in Denver? I don't.
No.
Then of course you've got the Ravens visiting the Raiders. The Raiders admittedly are a strange team. The fact that they've won what five games already, six games maybe, I lose track. It doesn't matter. I mean, they are a little unpredictable, but it's very difficult to fathom the Ravens going out there and losing that game.
Yeah.
So two of those things having to happen are almost infinitesimally small. So the Texans are going to have to take solace in the fact that, one, they are playing for a winning season, which would be a first in franchise history. You know, they're sending four guys to the Pro Bowl, which they found out last night. That's the best in franchise history. So progress has been made, but there will be some lamenting this offseason for what could have been this year.
Well, I agree with you in terms of the progress is being made, but I wonder though, is it enough progress to keep Gary Kubiak safe and to think that this team is in good shape from here on out?
Yeah, no question now Kubiak's job is safe. I mean, it would have to take just an almost unthinkable collapse of some kind on Sunday where the coaching staff was completely to blame. Bob McNair, the owner of this franchise, is a very patient man. He's only made one coaching change in the 8 years they've been in existence. So mm-hmm. He likes Kubiak. He understands what a good offensive mind he is. The Texans really do have something going with their passing game right now. Matt Schaub has turned into a definite elite quarterback. Andre Johnson, they've done this without a running game. The defense has really come on after a terrible start. It wouldn't make much sense given the philosophy of the organization to make a coaching change based on this, because they'd really be starting over. Yeah, they should have, you know, there was one game, one of their losses in Jacksonville. Kubiak made a decision that directly, you know, led to the defeat. He called a stupid play mm-hmm. when he should have, you know, should have played it safe and could have scored a touchdown. And that game probably would have gone into overtime too. That's how close they've been all year.
Sure.
But the bottom line is they like Gary Kubiak here. A lot of the fans grumble, but the organization likes him, and I just can't see them making a change.
Dale Robertson covers the Houston Texans for the Houston Chronicle. He's with us here in the Patriots playbook. Of the guys that made the Pro Bowl, certainly I don't think you can argue with Andre Johnson. I know some Patriots fans are disappointed that Wes Welker wasn't voted in as a starter,
yeah, sure.
But when you consider who the starters are, I guess you can understand somehow, some way, somebody has to be a second teamer.
Well, just going to the Pro Bowl is pretty good deal.
Sure.
Second guess that. I mean, on the case of the Texans have a remarkable rookie linebacker, Brian Cushing. You know, he goes to the Pro Bowl as a rookie. He's not starting. If you look at the guy he's playing behind Dumerville and Anderson in Pittsburgh, I mean, he shouldn't be starting. But for him to be there is a remarkable testament to the kind of season he's had here. And, you know, he's become the glue on a defense that has the potential to be quite good next year.
Absolutely. And of course, the other guys I was going to ask about are the other the defenders that are actually making it and have been voted onto the Pro Bowl. Of the players that have been voted into, you know, the Pro Bowl situation, which one, number one, and I guess I can probably answer this myself, but I'll ask mm-hmm. it to you, which one was the biggest surprise? And number two, what does this say about the future of the Texans defense?
Well, it says that they've got a potentially very, very good defense. There's still a couple holes. Their corners are not great cover guys. They're pretty good run guys.
Mm-hmm.
The defensive line, you know, which is anchored by two former number one draft choices, Mario Williams, is the biggest surprise of the four Pro Bowlers. He frankly has not had a very good season. You know, such is his name recognition after having been a first overall pick back in 06 that I think. You know, it was a little bit of a makeup call for him as well. Two seasons ago, he had 14 sacks and didn't make the Pro Bowl. This year, he's had 8 and just not been much of a force yet goes. So, you know, sometimes the Pro Bowl takes time. You got to catch up to going to the Pro Bowl. That's why Cushing making the team was very much a tribute to the kind of season he's had. He didn't have to get that reputation first before he got a look.
Interesting. Well, I guess, you know, when you consider the overall numbers, I could see where Williams would be a little bit of a surprise. If you could, for a moment, just talk about Brian Cushing and what his expectations were coming in and how you think he managed to exceed, apparently, some of the expectations for a rookie linebacker.
Well, and he started from an amazing handicap. He did not play a single down in the preseason because of a sprained knee.
Sure.
So he was, you know, he started from a negative position. But what I loved about Cushing is he showed up here very businesslike. You know, he had this long flowing hair that he'd started growing at USC as a good luck charm.
Mm-hmm.
The veterans needed to do something to haze him. He told them, guys, I got a great idea. Let's cut my hair and have some fun with that. So straight away, he'd won the old guys just by doing that, because they figured, oh, here's this guy coming in with his pretty hair and all that. He's going to be a jerk. Absolutely. I said, look, man, I am here to play football. Let's cut my hair. Let's go to work. You know, he's an absolute no-nonsense football player. He's a rookie who to be around him sounds like a 10-year veteran.
I think he's just saving a buck. He had his veterans cut his hair for him.
Right. That's right. You know, we were a little concerned that it was going to be the Samson effect, but the reality is he's played extremely well, and he just has a great intuition for football. He's a tough guy. You know, he's been hurt all season. He's had a bad foot. He's practiced very little. This is very unusual for a rookie to not practice and to go out and play the way he has. He's a playmaker. He's got a nose for the ball. If he avoids the serious injury, you know, I think we're looking at a guy who's a 6 or 7-time Pro Bowler and potentially and probably even a first team All Pro player within 2 or 3 years.
That's
the kind of talent he has. But it all boils down to a work ethic and an attitude. You know, I had a long conversation draft day with his father, who came down with him, and he said Brian has always been this way. He was like this when he was 9 years old. He walked into the den one night, his father's watching TV, and said, "Dad, I've got a plan. I've made some decisions here." 9 years old, he says, "I'm going to play for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to be an All Pro." Well, he got the team wrong, but he got the state right.
I think that's pretty cool. You don't find too many 9-year olds focused like that. That's for sure.
And he's very focused is the key word. You know, it's a cliche, but this kid he's just a football player.
Well, that's a great story. Now, while it seems that the Texans certainly have some talent, if not youth on their side in the front seven, maybe with some question marks, as you suggested, you know, in the secondary, let's flip it over to the offensive side. As you said, Matt Schaub has certainly, I think, developed himself, into one of the guys that could be considered, one of the top tier quarterbacks in the NFL. I would imagine that depending upon how the playoffs play out, that Schaub could end up finding himself on the Pro Bowl team as well.
Yeah, I wrote that this morning. I think there's a real good shot that he will be on the team. It's pretty obvious one of the three guys that was named a team you would think would be in the Super Bowl, so clearly is out of the mix there. Never did get confirmation on the top alternate, but I'm assuming it's Big Ben, and you know he's pretty beaten up and battered.
Yeah.
So why would he want to go? This is a wounds licking time for him. So
yeah.
I have a feeling Matt will be down there, and that'll be a nice reward for him. He's really a good quarterback. And again, you know, I can't say this too much. They've done it without any kind of running game at all. Peyton Manning got away with that in Indianapolis this year. The Colts and the Texans are the two worst running teams in football. But Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning. So it's a real tribute to how he's evolved. He's got, you know, Andre Johnson's a great receiver without question. I mean, no doubt there. Kevin Walter's a great number two go-to receiver, and they've done this half the season without their Pro Bowl tight end from last year, Owen Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
So really a remarkable accomplishment with the passing game on offense. They've got some real problems in the offensive line, though. They're playing backups, two of the three middle positions, and the center Chris Myers is undersized. So the offensive line is something they're going to have to look at pretty hard going into next season.
Well, that really kind of leads me in, Dale, to my next question, which was, why do you think that the running game has struggled as mightily as it has?
Well, two things. Fans and us media types, we'd love to say, well, you guys are a bunch of, you know, you can't play. But the reality is they are playing two backup guards, guys who are marginal NFL players, in my opinion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're just weak at the guards. And the center, Chris Myers, although he's a classic tough guy, is an undersized offensive lineman. So there you go. Three of your five interior linemen are subpar in one way or another. And their top back, Steve Slayton, who had a really nice rookie season last year, was
sure
a leading rookie rusher in the league, started slowly, was fumbling, and then we discovered 2 or 3 weeks ago that he had nerve damage in his neck that was causing his fingers in his right hand and his arm and his shoulder to go numb on occasion. Okay.
Wow.
So you know it's unclear where Slayton stands. If indeed he were to need the whole the full Monty surgery, the fusion, you know, his career is basically over. But nobody is saying that right now. There's no doubt that all the fumbling early, in my opinion, had to have something to do with this numbness, although he denies that he had it early in the season. Too much of a coincidence for me. So you take away your 1,000-yard running back and you put the two backups in your offensive line, it sort of stands to reason your running game is not going to be very good.
Wow, that's shocking. I didn't realize the extent of Slayton's injury, because I certainly liked him as a player at West Virginia, having covered Big East football quite a bit myself.
He was very strange. It was a very strange start to his season. You could tell something was wrong. He just wasn't the guy he was last year, and the fumbling didn't make any sense because he hasn't been a fumbler historically. And then all of a sudden he's got numbness in his hands, and they put him immediately when they see the MRI, they put him on injured reserve. So not a great sign there, but you know, we'll keep our fingers crossed. He's a nice young man, and I certainly hate to think his career was threatened now.
Sure. Do you anticipate then in the offseason the Texans looking to the draft to try to find a replacement?
Well, it'll be interesting. Sunday, they've got a rookie free agent out of Tennessee, Arian Foster, who as a junior had potential to be a very high draft pick, possibly even a mid-first round pick, and had a terrible senior year at Tennessee. Nobody wanted him after he left school. The Texans signed him as a free agent. He's been on the practice squad. He got his first action 2 weeks ago, very first carry. He fumbled. Kubiak said, I won't put up any more of that. He was out of the game. He'd practiced poorly that week. But he came back and had a pretty decent game in Miami. So they're going to showcase him Sunday to at least get a feel for what they may need to think of. I mean, most people here would say they have to look at a running back, first and foremost in the draft. But if Slayton's career is not over, and I'm not, I don't want to say that it is, but I think this is more serious than a lot of people believe. And Arian Foster is a good number two back, then maybe that takes a little emphasis off that. You can look at the offensive line first.
Wow. That would be tragic. We'll hope for the best, certainly for Steve Slayton. I guess, Dale, the final thing that I kind of like to get into is whether or not, when you guys had a chance, I think your conference call with Bill Belichick was it earlier today?
Yeah, and I wasn't part of it, so I don't know what he said, but I have my suspicions of what he said.
He was very, very, here's, I guess, the best way to put it. He was very coy about what his plans are going to be.
Imagine that, right?
Yeah, which, it's gotten to the point around here now where it's kind of like, oh, Bill Belichick at his press conference today, what did he say? And we just kind of look at each other like, oh, never mind. Because you ask the question, you show up just in case for some reason, the atom bomb gets left behind, but it never happens. And so I anticipated then Houston's reporters to ask him about, all right, so what are your plans for starters? And he said, well, they're going to be there. That doesn't mean they're going to play, but they're going to be there. So if you're Gary Kubiak and if you're these Texan players, you pretty much, I guess, have to prepare for the fact that you're going to get the Patriots' best shot, don't you?
Well, and they should. If they do anything less than that, they're a bunch of damn fools, to be honest. Because for what it is, it's the most important game in the history of the franchise. So it's an 8-year-old franchise, but you got to start somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they have to be ready to play. And if it's not Tom Brady, then doesn't matter. Then they should destroy the second team. I mean, that should be their attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But their pattern has been rather quirky this year. They've yet to play an entire full game. What I'm expecting to happen is they'll come out like gamebusters in the first half, but will then find a way somehow to make the game close in the second half.
Right.
No matter who the Patriots are playing, because that has been their pattern. The only time that pattern has not held is when they've had a terrible first half and then made up for it in the second half. But they've yet to put four quarters together. It would be nice for them to do that just on the slight chance that they do get to play the following weekend.
Sure. And then I guess overall, another question that kind of lingers then would be, even though the players know that it's still a bit of an uphill battle to reach the postseason, that several things have to happen for them to have some help, is just winning, beating New England, whether or not they're throwing their best at you or not, and getting the winning record and being 9-7 as opposed to 8-8, is that enough motivation for those guys?
I think that's huge, and I think it should be. I think it absolutely is enough motivation. Now, there's another way to look at this, kind of an odd bit of history. Suppose they go 8-8 again. That'll be three consecutive 8-8 seasons.
Right.
Well, there's an interesting historical precedent set by a team that used to play in Houston called the Oilers, became
the
Titans. They went 8-8 3 years in a row and then went to the Super Bowl the following season. So
right.
I guess if they gave the Texans a choice of going 8-8 and missing the playoffs this year and going to the Super Bowl next year, most of them would probably take it, but of course it doesn't work that way, does it?
That's pretty good revisionist history, though. I like that, though. That's good stuff. You would only come up with it. You've been covering the NFL now for what, 30-plus years?
Since I was a small child, it feels like, yeah. Yeah, I date back to the mid-70s and Bob Phillips and Love You Blue and, you know, coming up to New England in 1978, I don't know if you remember the Chuck Fairbanks fiasco.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
With an Oilers team that hadn't been in the playoffs in 10 years. They'd upset Miami the previous week on the road. They went to New England and the Patriots clearly were a superior team, but weren't, you know, were all messed up with the coaching situation.
Right.
Get all runs together. The Oilers win that game and then they're in Pittsburgh playing for the AFC Championship all of a sudden. But that's a good parable and I will bring this up with some of these young Texans when I'm out there today and tomorrow, saying you get in the dance, things can happen.
Absolutely. And then obviously the Patriots know that. That's how they were able to win the Super Bowl in 2001.
Yeah, exactly. They're looking at a mirror image of themselves just a few years down the road, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Well, Dale, it's been great to visit with you. Thank you much for the time. I've enjoyed reading your stuff for pretty much all of those 35 years.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Happy New Year to you.
The same to you. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Dale Robertson, again, who covers the Texans for the Houston Chronicle with us here in the playbook. So hopefully that'll give you now a little bit of a taste as to what the Patriots have in store for them at Reliance Stadium on Sunday afternoon. Clearly, when the Patriots have played there before, they had, you know, there's very short history. The Patriots won a game, but it was, obviously one of those last-second things. I don't think Adam Vinatieri ended up kicking a field goal to end up winning the game in the end. Nevertheless, Houston has everything to play for. Everything to play for this Sunday. The Patriots have nothing to play for unless, of course, you consider playoff momentum as being something. I don't know if you consider that to be, you know, an overriding, you know, factor or not. I guess it could be, and maybe that's something the Patriots have to be preaching to the players this week. I don't think the Patriots are going to go in there and lay down, gang. Don't get me wrong. I really don't believe that to be the case. I mean, the guys who are going to get the majority of the playing time on Sunday, and a lot of them will be, you know, second teamers, they certainly have pride. They certainly want to show that they have some ability, and they certainly want to show that they've got some talent, whether it's going to be in the long run with the Patriots or maybe even to set themselves up for, you know, another potential deal with another team. This is their opportunity. And so it really depends if each of these guys individually decides this is my opportunity. The collective picture then molds together. So you can kind of see, you might have six or seven, you know, second teamers ready to roll and ready to, you know, pin their ears back and get after it. And then another second teamer who you're going to rely on is just sort of lukewarm about it all. You got to have everybody pulling on the same page. And that's, of course, the nature of, you know, being successful in football. You know, it's kind of like, you know, operating as a unit, how the offensive line is so successful. You've got to all be together. You've all got to be on the same page to have some success. If you don't have that, you're not going to have that success. The Patriots are obviously going to have, you know, the players who are playing willing to play and wanting to play. And if they can get that, then my guess would be that they can make a game out of this. I'm not surprised. As if you're listening toward the tail end of PFW, that the Patriots are an 8-point underdog, because certainly the odds makers are even taking into consideration track record here, what the Patriots have done in the past in terms of playing veterans when, you know, they have absolutely nothing to gain by playing them, and the answer is they don't play them. They might get a series in, they might get a quarter in. That would be my guess at this stage. The odds makers are already saying that because the Texans are an 8-point favorite at home. I think that would probably be a toss-up to maybe a 3 or 4 point New England favorite if this game were to mean something. In other words, if the Patriots had to win this game to get into the playoffs, then obviously it's all hands on deck, and then you're ready to roll, and you'll have yourself a battle, and hopefully you'll have a decent opportunity to win a ball game. The Texans being 8-point favorites, I don't know. Call me crazy here. I'm not so sure the Patriots win the game, but like Dale Robertson just told us, I kind of anticipate the Patriots making, you know, at least it relatively close. I'm not so sure it'll be a 24-10 or 27-10 type of runaway that, you know, some may already be thinking. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see the Patriots hanging in there down, say, around oh, I don't know, 23-13, 23-14, somewhere in that vicinity, you know, with the chance to score late and, you know, maybe try for an onside kick type of situation and steal one at the end. That would not surprise me. I do think the Patriots will make a game out of it. I don't know right now at this stage of the game, depending upon, you know who's going to play or not, if I could say definitively that the Patriots are going to cover an 8-point spread. I don't know that I can say that, but I would not be surprised to see the Patriots make it close. I also would not be surprised to see the Texans win the game. So I think that's really kind of the bottom line where it's concerned. All right, our question of the day to you, again, webradio@patriots.com, if you're Bill Belichick, how long do you let the regulars, how long do you let the starters play? Not at all, a quarter, a half, or the whole game? Taking into consideration what you have at stake Sunday in Houston. All right, so webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us. Brian, can we use the telephone line today too? Okay, good. That's always good to know. 508-543-7482 is the telephone number. If you want to call in, you can do that. In hour number two of the program, we're going to let you hear exclusively from the Patriots Pro Bowl selections, specifically Welker, Wilfork, and Mankins. Obviously, you can get Brady's stuff elsewhere here on the website, so we'll kind of leave you to that of your own volition to go ahead and get that. But
actually, John, Brady is not in today.
Oh, that's right. You know what? I was just going to say that because we're going to come back and update the practice report, and we can kind of already sort of lead you into that. Tom Brady did not practice today. So I don't know if that should be a precursor of things to come for Sunday or not, but the Patriots players that are in the Pro Bowl that were at practice today, you're going to hear from in hour number two, and Welker, Wilfork, and Mankin. So all of that is upcoming inside the playbook.
Hey! Don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game, 5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change, patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Cloud Services NA, Bank of America NA, member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Inside Patriots Playbook on a Wednesday here. John Rook with you from South Bend, Indiana, the site of the College Football Hall of Fame. I've got some college basketball duties tonight with Providence playing at Notre Dame, so that's why I'm here in the Midwest where it is a balmy 15 degrees outside here. And I'm kind of looking out the window here, and there's only about an inch or two of snow on the ground. The streets are great here, but they're expecting a lot of lake effect snow for the weekend here in the upper Midwest. And I know that we're also expected to get some at home over the New Year's weekend as well. So fortunately, we'll be out of here, I think, before any of the snow comes back here in the Midwest. But nevertheless, college basketball duties tonight, which has me hosting the show here from a remote location. Of course, our schedule for the rest of the week, with tomorrow being New Year's Eve, taking the day off for the holiday as we did last week, and then you'll have some taped replays here on Patriots.com on Thursday with Patriots Friday on Friday. And then, of course, the game on Sunday. And then really, hey, we're kind of back to a normal schedule next week because we do have a playoff game to talk about with the Patriots hosting somebody in the first round of the playoffs. We kind of talked a little about this last week. But honestly, you know, I personally believe that both the Jets and the Ravens are going to win. That's my thought. And if both of those teams win this weekend, then they both get into the playoffs as the wild cards in the AFC. That I believe means that if both win, and I got to look at the scenario again, but if that means they both win, I think that the Ravens are the ones that squeeze in as the six. But I have to double check that. Maybe somebody can correct me if you've already seen what that means if they both win, which would mean then you'd have a rematch with the Patriots and the Ravens. Frankly, and again, I'm not entirely certain about that because I know that there's a possibility. I'm just not sure where the scenario is. But I know there's a possibility the Patriots could also rematch against the Jets. Now, I don't know about you, but I think we'd all be tremendously fired up for a chance to rematch the Jets as opposed to rematching the Ravens. A lot of it probably depends on where the Patriots finish. If the Patriots finish as the four and lose to Houston and the Jets win, then I think that's where the Patriots and Jets could come into play. If the Patriots win and Cincinnati loses and finishes the three, I think that's where the Patriots and the Ravens could come into play. But again, there are some variables here. Don't hold me to that, because there's really no way of telling at this early juncture. Suffice to say, next Tuesday when we come back with our next live edition of Patriots Playbook, that's all we'll be talking about, and that's all we'll be focused on, whatever rematch it turns out to be. But it looks like, if both the Jets and the Ravens win, then there will be a rematch somewhere at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough the following weekend. So, and then obviously, you know, we won't have any idea about when the Patriots will play their playoff game, whether it be a Saturday or a Sunday game, until after all the games are through on Sunday. So all of that's still to come, and still very much up for grabs. In terms of practice today, and I know that that's one of the reasons why Eric Scalavino took off after PFW, because there was press conferences going on, but Tom Brady and Randy Moss both were not present at the start of practice, which they had inside the Dana-Farber Fieldhouse today. Not that that should come as any surprise to anybody. Fact is, it's been kind of commonplace for Randy Moss to miss practice over the last few weeks, as we have alleged that there was probably more to Moss's story than you or I or anybody else in the media have been privy to. Not saying that there's any sort of familial problems or anything else going on. It's just that it wouldn't surprise me at all to find out that there's just more to the story based on the way that his teammates came to his defense, after the alleged day off a couple of weeks ago. So can't say that it has come as a surprise. Brady, as we know, has been on the injury report with a shoulder, a finger, and a rib ailment each of the last several weeks, which he will undoubtedly remain on today when the injury report comes out again after 4 p.m. Eastern time. So can't say that that's a shock and a surprise. My guess is that the guys probably said, the team probably said, you know, Tom, you're not going to play. we need you to be as effective as you can be. I mean, obviously he was AFC Offensive Player of the Week this past week for his performance in the win over Jacksonville. And, you know, even though he managed to do it, you know, with, you know, still some soreness in the rib cage, and, you know, the shoulder has been a lingering problem, and the finger, as we've seen, has also been a lingering problem. And he, you know, had his, one of his best statistical games, certainly percentage-wise, all season long. Fact is, a week off could probably do him some good. We've seen that, you know, Tom saved his best for last. One of the criticisms I think that we've all had of Brady this year is the fact that, you know, he may have been trying to overcompensate in certain pass routes, in certain situations, because of his lingering injuries. Earlier in the season, I think it was largely because he was still getting used to making sure the knee was okay. Now, as the season has progressed, I think we've learned that, you know, the knee is an afterthought, which is certainly good, I think, for his psyche and for the thought process, but he's got these other nagging things now that have come up and bothered him, so he was able to fight through all of that and come up with his best statistical percentage-wise performance of the year against Jacksonville, against a playoff-caliber opponent. And so I think they felt like, you know, all right, that's good enough for us, Tom. We've seen what we need to see. You're ready to roll. And so this is going to be Brian Hoyer's week to work with the first-team offense, whoever ends up being on the first-team offense. And it's probably going to be Brian Hoyer's game to play from start to finish. Plus, I think there's also a big picture issue for the Patriots and Brian Hoyer to begin with. I think they need to see if this is a guy that they can rely on to continue to be the backup. They've gotten through this year, with a little bit of good fortune smiling on them, because, you know, it hasn't been any point in time really where they've this year where they've actually carried a legitimate third quarterback on the roster. And you can make, you know, statements to the effect that, well, Julian Edelman could fill in, or I know Isaiah Standback was even listed as a third quarterback possibility earlier this year in one or two of the games, even though he's primarily a receiver, but I know he had done that with Dallas when he was in the Cowboys organization. So you could say that in an emergency situation, one of those two guys could probably fill in, and, you know, how big a deal is it really? You don't necessarily need that quarterback. Well, here's the thing. My guess would be that the Patriots need to find out if a guy like Hoyer, even though, as Andy Hart actually alluded to at the tail end of the program in the last hour, you know, there's some questions about his arm strength, whether or not he can throw with enough strength and enough velocity on the out routes to not allow defensive backs, corners in particular, to get jumps and come up with picks. So we're going to have to learn a little bit about him on those particular routes and his general, you know, leadership out on the field overall. You know, his game management skills overall, and this is going to be a chance to do that. And he's going to get, you know, he's going to get the Texans' best game against him. He is going to get the Texans' best game against him. You know he's going to get the best game against him because the Texans have everything to play for still. If they lose to the Patriots, they got no shot. If they win, it's remote, but they still have a shot to get into the playoffs. So, you know, Hoyer's going to get his shot. The Patriots need to see what he can do. If he fails miserably, if he has a miserable day, I mean, don't be surprised if you see the Patriots make a draft choice. Certainly, you can look at free agents that will be coming in. My guess is that will probably happen anyway in the offseason. They'll find, you know, free agents to come in and take a look. But this will be an opportunity for Brian Hoyer to have a future with New England on Sunday, as he will undoubtedly, you know, get the nod against the Texans. Now, you know, as far as our question of the day has been concerned, in terms of you know, whether or not you feel like the Patriots should play a quarter, a series, a half, or not at all, I think the bottom line here is that while we know that it doesn't necessarily matter to us whether or not you know, these guys play, my own personal thought is, in other words, if I was actually taking part in my own poll here, I would let them play a quarter. I would treat this game similar to probably the I'd say preseason game number two. Preseason game number three is usually a game where you get your starters to play most of the way. because they, you know, they probably need the work, and then they hardly play at all, if at all, maybe a series in the last game. So I would say, you know, a quarter would be good, because I think you want to make sure that everybody is still relatively sharp, and hopefully you can get through with a quarter. I'm not so sure that Tom Brady is going to be an exception to that particular rule, because I frankly would be surprised if Brady plays at all. That's my own personal thoughts. If he plays even a series, it's kind of like, well, why are we doing this when you know that he's going to come out? And, of course, that's been part of the controversy all week in Indianapolis. You know, when I hosted Patriots Monday on EEI for the guys a couple of days ago, and certainly, you know, the people that we spoke with and we talked to and the players, even the Patriots players we had on the program, were just, you know, perplexed as to why the Colts would make the decision that they did. And even though Jim Caldwell and Bill Polian have tried to reason with everybody as to the as to why they made the call they did to pull everybody from the game when they each actually had a lead in the game, it just doesn't hold water with me, or I think many common sense, many fans who have at least an ounce of common sense, because of their track record. They hadn't done that before, or when they have done that before, they failed miserably. They hadn't won anything, and so here they are doing it again. So, you know, I think we can all kind of take this to the bank that if the Colts ultimately fail to get to the Super Bowl, look back on last week and the decision as being, you know, a part of the problem. Not the entire problem. Players still have to go out there and play, but part of the problem anyway. And you have to wonder whether or not the players, you know, lose any confidence in their coaches to make the right calls. A couple of emails here to share. Shannon in Seattle sends this email. Shannon, it's great to hear from you. How can you say the Patriots have nothing to play for? First of all, there's a big difference between the number three and number four seeds. Assuming the Pats get past the first round, the number three seed, they will go to San Diego, whereas the four seed, the Pats go to Indy. These choices are pretty much a toss-up at this point. Pick your poison, yada, yada, yada. But as the three seed, assuming they can get past San Diego, Indy can be beat by Cincy, New York Jets, Baltimore, etc. Although not likely, it can and may happen. Under that scenario, the Pats would play at Gillette in the AFC Championship game instead of playing on the road at Cincy. Well, see, the problem here, Shannon, and you're certainly entitled to your opinion, but you've got too many variables here. They don't really have anything to play for because there's nothing they can hang their hat on. There is nothing definitive they can play for. The three of the four seed mean nothing. All it means is that you know you're going to get a first-round game at home. That's all the three and the four seed mean. That's number one. Number two, it also means you're guaranteed to go on the road in the second round. Guaranteed. Even if there's upsets in the second round, you're not necessarily guaranteed a chance to play the home game either, you know, for the AFC Championship. There just aren't any guarantees. So, do they have something to play for? Well, yeah, but unfortunately they need a ton of help for it to mean something. And you can't rely on something that you don't have control over. Nobody's ever done that. The Patriots have certainly never, ever done that. So I can tell you right now, it doesn't matter to them one way or the other whether they're the three seed or the four seed, or whether they right now finish 11-5 or 10-6. It just doesn't matter. They're AFC East champions. They're going to host a playoff game in the first round of the wild card weekend, and then let the chips fall where they may. Once you get into the Derby, once you get into the tournament, it's win or go home. Now, I said earlier on Patriots Monday this week, and even we talked a little bit about it last week as you started looking ahead, I said that if it were my preference, I would prefer to have the four seed, simply because I feel like as the four seed, you get Indianapolis in the first round, and I think that there would be probably more, at least internal motivation, amongst the players in the locker room, to put one back on Indy because of the way they lost it. You know, the whole fourth and two bit and all that stuff from earlier in the year. And I think the Patriots players, to a man, feel like not only they should have won that game, but they did win that game, except for the last 4 minutes or so, and that they'd like another shot at the Colts. And so the playoffs is all about momentum. You got to start the momentum with week one. And so if you can go in and play relatively well in your first round game at home, no matter who that might be, and then you're going to roll into Indianapolis, and then you're going to have that whole, you know, emotional chip on your shoulder from the game at Indy earlier this year, I just feel like they have a better chance to go further in the tournament starting with Indianapolis rather than as the three seed and starting with San Diego, because I think the Chargers are the toughest matchup right now for anybody in the AFC, and I certainly believe them to be the toughest matchup for the Patriots. I would rather save the Chargers for the winner-take-all goes to the Super Bowl matchup, because any given game, any given day, you know, the Chargers are the ones will probably be a little bit tight, while the Patriots will be like, you know, hey, we're not really supposed to be here. I like the Patriots in that scenario a little bit better than I do saying, all right, you got to play San Diego first, then go to Indy if Indy wins. My opinion, you obviously have yours, but that's why I have, you know, that the thoughts I do is I just think the playoffs are all about momentum and rolling momentum right into the Super Bowl. Shannon also says, secondly, need we go further that the momentum gained by the 07 Giants when they played everyone in week 17 against the Pats and had nothing to play for? The Pats are arguably playing their best football right now, and I would really prefer they do not tweak with that. Keep the train moving along swiftly, beat the Texans, head to the playoffs with nearly maximum confidence. My best guess, if it's close, Pats starters play three quarters. If the game is similar to last week, they're out at halftime. Well, I don't see the Patriots playing three quarters at all. Sorry, this is going to be more of a preseason type scenario. I don't see that at all. Under no sir. I mean, maybe you don't go far back in terms of revisionist history in being a Patriots fan, but the Patriots have never, ever, ever done that. So, if you think the Patriots are going to play three quarters, I think a lot of us would be greatly surprised if that happens. I would also suggest to you that the 07 Giants starters played the Patriots, and admirably so, I might add, simply because they were trying to spoil history. I think Tom Coughlin is enough of a student of the game, and I think the Giants players at the time were students of the game to know that the Patriots are going after something historical, first ever 16-0 regular season. And I think that they felt like, you know, they really wanted a shot at trying to snap that. And then after they got through the game and the Patriots managed to struggle through but win it, I think they probably realized, you know what, if we ever play these guys again, we have a chance to beat them. I think that, more than anything else, helped the Giants in 07. I don't think that the Patriots will have the same scenario here because, frankly, they're playing Houston. And what's the motivation here? Keep Houston out of the playoffs? That's not motivation. That's not motivation at all. So, I don't know. I think we'll just have to agree to disagree on that one, Shannon. I thank you for the email. Let's see. Got another one here. This is from Nathan, I believe. Yes. Okay. And it says, guys, couldn't be happier about last week's games. Colts lost, Saints lost, Giants lost. What a great week. About the Colts discussion, I have one serious problem about being addressed about resting starters. The argument seems to imply that if the Colts rest the starters and they do win the Super Bowl, then Bill Polian is considered correct. Well, if they don't, then the fans are correct and that they should have gone for it anyway. I have one serious problem with this, because if the Colts go on to win the Super Bowl, this will be way bittersweet for the fans, because they will feel cheated in giving that one win away, and they were one charity gift away from perfection. As much as we hate Bill Polian, I have to love his idiocy. That's actually an interesting point. You're right. I don't think the Colts will argue if they're Super Bowl champions because you have a championship, but it'll be kind of like, God, why did we give that one away? We could have been 19-0. I guess that'll be a nice problem for them to have if they get that far. Lastly, the Colts starters are absolutely deflated and they feel cheated. They all wanted to go for it, and in my opinion, they deserved to go for it. It's by their hard work, sweat, and blood that they got that far, and for an idiot to deflate their momentum will work in our favor when we beat them in Indy this time. Okay. Fair enough, Nathan. I have a tendency to kind of agree with that. Brian sends this email in about the Patriots starters. He says, I think Bill Belichick plays the starters the first half, but Hoyer needs the work. Well, it's clear that he's going to get the work. Again, I think I'll be surprised if the Patriots starters play more than a series. Really, I think I'd be surprised if they play more than a series. I'd be surprised right now if Tom Brady, and this is Wednesday now, all right, and yes, I know Brady was not at practice today at Gillette. But I'll be surprised if Tom Brady plays at all, number one. I'll be surprised if any of the mainline starters play past the first quarter. I'll give you the first quarter. But if they go past the first quarter, I'll be surprised. Dagmar's in Miami. Dagmar, what do you think? How long are these guys going to go on Sunday?
Hey, just like you said, I think first quarter, the game is already taking a good direction. I think first quarter will be good. Even up to the half, I don't think second half belongs to any of the starters on either side. I mean, I know we don't have that many options on probably on defense, but anyways, yeah, I think first quarter, middle of a second, even up to the half, I don't think further than that. I want to comment on something that you may found last week, because the reason of why every time I call it sounds like buzzing around me,
yeah,
is because I work at the Miami airport.
Oh, okay.
And I step out of the trailer, because I work for an engineering firm, and I step out of a trailer, but like most of the times, there's wind and the airplanes are taking off, so that's why you hear all that noise going on around.
Well, I'm glad you cleared that up for us. We were a little concerned that you might have been out playing in traffic or something.
Yeah, no. I either call from here or from school. Like I step out of my studio where I take the classes, and I step out, and but usually go to one of those like egress stairs, like fire
right.
stairs. But right. The noise from the outside always gets in, so that's why you hear all that noise.
All right, very good. Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah. Hey, John, I think this is going to be the last program of the year, if I'm not mistaken. Is that true?
Well, we'll be back next week since we know the Patriots are in the playoffs.
Yeah, no. I mean for 2009.
Yes, for 2009, yeah. You're correct. Because the next time we do it, yes, it'll be after New Year's, correct.
Yeah, in that case, I want to give you thanks and congratulate you, and at the same time extend my, you know, my greetings to all the guys on the, you know, Patriots radio network, and wish you all guys a happy new year, and, you know, all the blessings and all the good things for the upcoming, you know, 2010 year.
Well, I appreciate that, Dagmar. Thank you. Same to you. I mean, we couldn't do it unless we had, you know, dedicated, loyal fans like you, you know, that take the time to listen and, you know, contribute and, you know, want to check up on us. And that's what we like doing. That's our job. We like doing it. So we're glad that you appreciate that. And we know that you'll, we're always hopeful you'll keep listening and keep following.
Yeah, thank you. I will. Definitely I will. I have a couple of football questions.
Sure.
The last one is going to be related to the draft. I know
okay.
we're a little far from there, but
yeah.
The first one, in my opinion, things they're kind of like looking better now with Fred Taylor back in the team.
Agreed.
I guess our running game immediately got like pumped, so
right.
we no longer have to rely on a certain number of backs for our running game. So I think that's a huge improvement there, to be able to count on Fred. I don't know how you feel about it. I guess you agree with me.
Well, yeah, I do. I mean, anytime you have, I mean, first of all, what we saw of him, you know, against his old team, Jacksonville, last week, I thought was encouraging, because I was concerned about his ability to accelerate and then cut, you know, after having ankle surgery. And I think we saw enough of that, you know, him trying to get around the edge on a couple of plays to where it looks like, you know, frankly, he has hardly missed a beat. So congratulations to Fred for rehabbing successfully like that, number one. And number two, anytime you can have depth, and you got fresh legs when you go into the playoffs, that's a huge bonus. So I think that was part of the reason behind, you know, Lawrence Maroney getting sat down, you know, after that goal line fumble, because I think, you know, they wanted to make sure that he understood that, you know, now's not the time to be taking things lightly here, that we've got guys who can play behind you now who are healthier and who are going to play, both in Sammy Morris and in Fred Taylor. So, you know, hopefully
yeah, sure.
that was something that was sent out to him, and, you know, now you're going to have a little bit more of a running back by committee, but I also think that's a good thing for the Patriots, because it gives them a chance to put out some different looks on the opposing defense.
Yeah. Let me ask you, if I am not mistaken, are you right now, because I think I remember you from last week mentioning it in the program. You're right now in the College Football Hall of Fame or somewhere?
Yep, that's right.
There?
Yep, that's exactly right.
That's good. I think I'm going to have to send you a couple of guys from here, from the UM team, to take a look at what UM has done along the years, because last night they looked nothing like the UM team that used to win big ball games and all that. They got snatched last night by Wisconsin.
They struggled.
Yeah. Another thing, before the last point I want to make, I don't know how you felt, but after watching Monday Night Football and seeing another another big loss by the Minnesota Vikings, I think that people should realize that, you know, Brett Favre, yeah, he's got history behind him, backing him up, and, you know, for sure he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, but I don't know. People got to realize that a team, by including him in a roster and giving him the starting job, they may step one step forward, but the next year, when he doesn't come back to that team, whatever team it is, they're basically taking four steps backward. I went to and checked the stats between him and Aaron Rodgers, and the good thing is that Green Bay fans, they got to be happy that they have Aaron Rodgers in their roster, because if you look at the stats, they're exactly the same in the touchdowns and interceptions, exactly the same numbers. But even Rodgers got the edge on the amount of yards. Mm-hmm. He's already over 4,000 yards. Favre doesn't make it yet.
Right.
So I think, you know, Green Bay is a team that is making a good transition, you know, from Favre to Rodgers. So
I agree.
We got to keep an eye on that team. They stay there with the elite. And my last question, or my last point, is going to be taking in consideration that the outside linebacker position for the New England Patriots is not a weak point, but a point that it may not be. It needs to be addressed in the draft. I was looking at the scouts report.
Mm-hmm.
There's an outside linebacker from Auburn, I believe it's a school. His first name is Orlando, I believe. He's a 6'3", 260, kind of like Belichick outside linebacker prototype.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about it? And I also think that, because we have a first-round pick from the Oakland Raiders, mm-hmm, due to the trade with Seymour.
Yeah, but that doesn't come in until 2011.
Oh, that's okay.
Until next year. So we won't get that until 2011, and that was the main problem that I actually had with the pick. If it were a 2010 pick, then I could see them doing that. But now that it's going to be 2011, you got to wait 2 years before you get any kind of payoff from trading off Richard Seymour. And while, you know, I think the Patriots, you know, I'll maintain from day one, had they not traded Seymour, even though the Patriots defensively have, you know, statistically speaking, Dagmar, have been plausible, have been passable this year, I'd maintain that they'd be one of the top defenses in the league with Seymour this year, simply because, you know, of his familiarity and his presence in the locker room, and the fact that he's long had two guys have to block him, and he's played a lot of two-gap where he's had to occupy a lot of people. And, you know, I just, again, my opinion, obviously the Patriots and Bill Belichick, they're going to make, you know, the moves that they need to make because it's their football team. That's their right to do that. I just thought that it was just a little bit of, I thought they were mortgaging too much of the present for the future when this team had a legitimate shot to win this year. Now, they invariably may still find a way somehow in these playoffs to get there. But I would have felt a lot better about their chances had they not done that at the beginning of the year.
Okay. Anyways, John, so take care. I'll talk to you next year.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, Dagmar. Happy New Year to you.
Happy.
All right, you got it. Dagmar from Miami. Always like it when he checks in. He's a passionate fan. That's what it's all about here. All right, let's get a break in here. And then what we'll do on the other side is we'll let you hear from the Patriots Pro Bowl players themselves, minus Tom Brady, who is not a part of practice today, as we talked about earlier. But Wes Welker, Vince Wilfork, and Logan Mankins, along with Tom Brady being the four Pro Bowl selections, for the Patriots here in 2009, and we'll hear from Welker, Wilfork, and Mankins at hour number two of the Playbook coming up.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football, 3 Super Bowl championships, endless memories.
It's good! It's good!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. and is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of 3 flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the The Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Welcome back inside Patriots Playbook for a Wednesday. I'm John Rook. It's hour number two of our program as I broadcast live to you from South Bend, Indiana, and the College Football Hall of Fame here in downtown South Bend. Actually, I've got some college basketball duties tonight with Providence and Notre Dame, so that's why I'm in South Bend. And here in hour number two of the program, we're going to basically continue to kind of wrap up what we talked a little bit about in the opening hour of the program. We're trying to cram 3 days worth of programming into two today's, with tomorrow being New Year's Eve and the staff getting New Year's Eve off, and, of course, New Year's Day on Friday, and then, of course, the Patriots and the Houston Texans on Sunday in Houston. As we talked a little bit about in the opening of the program, the Patriots Pro Bowlers all had a chance to speak earlier at Gillette Stadium today. Whether or not you agree or disagree with the selections, it's pretty hard to deny the four players that reached the Pro Bowl for the Patriots. Wes Welker, certainly Vince Wilfork, Logan Mankins, and Tom Brady being the Patriots Pro Bowl players. You can also, I think, make a little bit of a case for a guy like Welker to have been a starter simply because of his number of catches overall. But when you consider the starters, being from Indianapolis and from Houston, respectively, as we've talked about, and the kind of years that those guys have had, well, you can kind of see that somebody somewhere had a very, very tough decision to make. Didn't seem to matter much to Wes Welker overall as Welker, gets his Pro Bowl selection. And some of the numbers behind Welker this year overall, certainly impressive. First in the NFL with 122 receptions during 2009. That is a Patriots single-season record. It breaks the record of 112 that he had in 2007. Welker, of course, over the 100 reception total mark for the third straight season after catching 112 again in 07, and then he caught 111 again last year. So obviously he's had three straight years, and he joins Marvin Harris, Jerry Rice, Herman Moore, and Brandon Marshall as the only NFL players to catch 100 passes in three consecutive seasons. So obviously some very, very good company there for Welker. He's got a career high in receiving yards this year with 1,336 is the total. And, of course, again, as we've sort of talked about again, he missed two games. So no telling what he might have done had he not missed the two games earlier this year with injury. Welker, along with Randy Moss, becoming the first Patriots players to have three straight 1,000-yard seasons. So earlier today, Wes Welker had this opportunity to speak with members of the media about his inclusion on the AFC Pro Bowl team.
How we doing?
Oh,
thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Did you set that out for yourself as a personal goal at the beginning of the year?
No, I really don't. For me, it's going out and playing hard every single week and doing, everything I can do to help the team win. And I think whenever you play like that, all these other things kind of take care of themselves. Not really. I feel like I had a pretty good idea that, it probably happened, but, you never know in this league and the way things kind of turn out. But I was definitely, excited and glad to hear it. Right. Not really. I think it'd be great to get to play and things like that. But, we know where our ultimate goal is and if I'm not playing in it, that's fine by me.
How much do you, and Patriots as a team, all the other teams battling the Texans for the playoff spot to give you that shot? And also just just say, what did you think of the Colts' decision to pull this back last week?
Well, I think, you know, any time being a, you know, professional, you want to go out there and play the best of your ability every given week. You know, this is what we live for, and this is what we, you know, we want to go out there and play every Sunday and get that opportunity. So, you know, we always look forward to going out there and playing, you know, wherever the case may be. You know, everybody has their personal preferences on that. For myself, I enjoy playing each and every week, and you know, I look at this week as no different. Well, yeah, like I said, it's, you know, everybody's own personal opinion, and for me, you know, it's one to go out there and play, but that's just me. I can't really speak for the Colts or anybody else. Yeah, no, I definitely enjoyed it, you know, getting to go out to Hawaii and hang out with the family and you know, have a good time out there. It was definitely a lot of fun. And you know, I can't sort of, you know, learned really too much. I mean, you know, we had a good time and had a lot of fun. It was more of a relaxing type atmosphere and just kind of enjoyed myself. Yeah, I've had a lot of calls and things like that of everything going on there at Texas Tech, but, you know, it's hard for me to really, say anything about it, because I don't have all the facts, and I don't really know everything that went on. I just go off my previous, you know, experiences from being at Texas Tech, and, you know, Coach Leach and the rest of the coaching staff was always great to me, always great to my teammates and everything like that, so... You know, I never really experienced anything like, I guess it went on or whatever. I don't really know what the case is or what happened. So I can't really speak on it or anything like that. But as far as Coach Leach and everybody, I mean, he was always great to me, great to my teammates. And, you know, it's unfortunate. And, you know, we wish him the best. You know, not really. I think, you know, we will sit there and say what a hoax, you know, the draft is and things like that. But, I don't think we ever like have it out for anybody or anything like that. We just kind of, you know, I don't know, give the evaluators a hard time and things like, yeah, you did a really good job on this pick. You know, things like that. But, you know, other than that, you know, I don't think we really, you know, necessarily feel like, or we're out to get anybody or anything. We just want to go out there and play some ball.
Do you think that post-football you would want to be involved in either
I mean, I don't know about that. You know, I always think that about, you know, players I've seen, oh, this kid's going to be good or something, it'll end up being a dud. So, but, you know, I'm not going through like the interview process or anything, but, you know, for me, it's, I don't know. I enjoy, you know, the learning process and, you know, the coaching process and things like that. So, you know, we'll see. Hopefully it's a long ways away and don't have to worry about it, you know, until the time comes, but, you know, we'll see. All right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's the way the league works, and there's always, you know, some people that should have made it and didn't, and there's only, you know, so many spots, and especially I think a receiver in the AFC is, you know, all the top guys were kind of in the AFC, but which is unfortunate, and, you know, wish, you know, to have him there. You know, I know how key it is to have him on the same team as me, so, you know, it's part of it, and he understands that. You know, he's been in the league a long time, and it's just part of it. You just got to, you know, focus on the task at hand. We all good? All right.
One of the final things, one of the interesting things or challenging things
Yeah, I mean, it's always, it was always like a new trend in the NFL, you know, whether it's, you know, new plays or new defenses or new ways to stop, you know, given teams and things like that. So, you know, you're always finding new ways to try and exploit, you know, the new things they're trying to do. And, you know, I think we do a pretty good job of trying to do that. All right. Outside chance. That's like, I mean, no, that's out there, bud. That's out there. So I'm not, trust me, I'm just going out there trying to play my game and you know, I think I would have to get like 20 something. I don't even know. Yeah, it'd be 22. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, unless we're running one man routes, or one man reads the whole game, I may have an opportunity, but no, I'm just going out there and just trying to play my game and try and handle my business as far as that goes. All right. All right, thanks.
So Wes Welker, a member of the Pro Bowl team for the Patriots, and we'll also hear from Vince Wilfork and Logan Mankins coming up here inside the playbook. John Rook with you again from South Bend, Indiana, in the College Football Hall of Fame, which we've been visiting a little bit today. And frankly, it's a little bit of a sad story here, I have to admit, because the College Football Hall of Fame, since its inception back in the late 90s, has been located here in South Bend, which long has been considered the cradle of college football because of Notre Dame's football presence. And I can't help but think that Notre Dame's, shall we say, I don't want to say demise, but let's just say their malaise with their college football program has helped lead to the demise of the College Football Hall of Fame here in South Bend. It is moving to Atlanta, Georgia, which you could certainly argue might be a little bit more of a football hotbed than South Bend, Indiana. It's certainly easier, I think, for football fans to get to in Atlanta than it would be here in South Bend. It's, in a couple of years, it's going to move where it's closer to, obviously, Georgia from the SEC and Georgia Tech from the ACC being right there in the vicinity. So this may very well be the last opportunity for me, at least, to get a chance to visit the Hall of Fame here in South Bend. And big news today in South Bend in the Tribune newspaper and continuing to kind of be talked about here in the local community as to what to do with this particular building. They're talking about making a children's museum out of it. There's even a thought that they may make it into a downtown casino here in South Bend, Indiana. So no telling what the taxpaying citizens of South Bend are going to try to push for. At any rate, that's where we are today, and it's still, if you're in South Bend within the next couple of years, it's still very, very, very much worth your while to come by and see, just because of all the history that is in here. All right, back to the issue of Patriots players and the Pro Bowl. After hearing from Wes Welker, next up is Vince Wilfork. And, of course, Wilfork earning his second Pro Bowl berth after helping the Patriots get into the final week of the season with the eighth-ranked defense overall in the NFL. As much as we've talked about the Patriots defense being maligned and maybe being a little soft at times and not having a good enough pass rush at times, or maybe being a little bit soft in the secondary at times, or being banged up in the linebacking core at times this year. All of those issues have come up from time to time. Fact is, the Patriots are the eighth-ranked defense in total yardage allowed, which is certainly, you know, sounds to me like that's a playoff contending defense. Now, since being taken in the first round of the 2004 draft out of the University of Miami, I believe he was 21st overall, Wilfork has helped the Patriots defense get into the top 10, finish in the top 10 on four different occasions, 04, 05, 07, and again in 08. Since 2004, the Patriots are 73-22 in the regular season. Since Wilfork has been a part of this football team, he's clearly a focal point. And frankly, he's the first player that comes to mind. If you think, who on this Patriots team is Pro Bowl worthy? The top two that come to mind are certainly Welker, and then certainly on the defensive side, Wilfork. And he enters the final week of the 09 season, leading all of the defensive line players with 65 total tackles. He had 10 tackles in the win over the Jets back on November the 22nd, which right now is basically giving the Patriots the AFC East title that they clinched with their win this past Sunday. And, of course, he was selected as a captain by his teammates for a second straight season. So Patriots players think a lot of Vince Wilfork, and I know he tweeted earlier today that he's very grateful for the fans turning out in record numbers to comprise one-third of the vote, getting Pro Bowl players elected. And so he tweeted thank you, basically, to everybody. And he also had a chance to meet with the media at Gillette Stadium earlier today.
How's everyone doing? Yeah. Been a tough one for me. It's an honor to make my second Pro Bowl. That's, as a football player, that's something that you might not set it up as a goal, but everybody in the back of their mind, that's a goal of theirs, even if they say it or don't say it, is to be a Pro Bowler. And you know, I'm very thankful and happy to be in my second one, chosen for my second one. But, you know, it's an honor. It's an honor, and you know what? It just means a lot. Yeah, a lot said, not by mouth, but just by, you know, the way you play the game, the people you play with, the coaches that coach you, the coaches that coach against you, your teammates, your friends, your fans. You know, it's just a lot said when you go out there and put a lot of hard work in what you do and the passion you have for what you do. So, you know, all my fans, I thank my fans, my coaches, my teammates. You know, everybody who know me know I play this game always with a chip on my shoulder because of the passion I have for it. And, you know, hard work pays off. I continue to play hard no matter, you know, what the situation may be. But that's just something to me. That's the personality I have. That's something down deep in me that my father and my mother, he always taught me. If you're going to do something, do it the right way. And I try to do that. You know, I teach my kids the same thing. So it's an honor and it's a privilege to be recognized with the elite at my level in this game.
The four guys you said, yourself, Tom Brady, Westbrook, what's that say about this team and the way you will represent this team? And all go there together.
Well, I think a lot of leadership right there. Guys that come in day in and day out, put a lot of work in, have been putting a lot of work in, and continue to do it on and off the field. I mean, it's just amazing how you can see things with guys like that. This team have a lot of leaders on it, don't get me wrong, but Logan and Tom and Wes, even Randy, Ty Warren, I mean, list go on and on. Mayo coming into his army, the list goes on and on. And for you to do the right thing and to play hard and get recognized for it, that's like I say, it's a goal, but really it's not a goal. You lead by example, and I think all of us do. I don't think we have any big mouths on this team. That's just the way we do things. I have a lot of respect for all my teammates, especially the ones that made it. And I'm very happy, you know, to be in it with these guys. Like I said, it's an honor to be playing with the elite. I mean, you can't get any better than that, you know. So it's an honor, to be going with four of my guys, to be selected with four of my guys. And that's cool. It's hard. As a football player, I want the stats. I want the sacks. I want the tackles. I want the tackles for losses. I want all that stuff. But, the position I play, I don't get them. But to be recognized at my position, at, you know, with the elite, that says enough for me. You know, I get satisfaction when I'm facing guys out there that congratulate me on plays or at the end of the game come telling me what a great ball player I am. I get satisfaction from that. A lot of guys I face in this league, and you know, I'll be, you know, that got elected with me on the AFC side. A lot of them I see, especially the offensive linemen. So, you know, we have fun. But at the end of the day, it's hard for a nose tackle to get the recognition. But I think now people are starting to see and understand the position as a nose tackle. And I think that's why you're starting to see more nose tackle being selected, because of it's not going off of stats. Because if you take a nose tackle off of stats, you won't have a nose tackle. I mean, everybody be a defensive tackle three technique. So, but everybody's starting to recognize the nose tackle play and what we stand for and how tough it is to be down there where we at. A lot of people start.
I know Casey Hampton, the guy that you really looked up to. Mm-hmm. Is it kind of cool that you're going to
Pro Bowl with him? Oh, yeah. Yeah, in 07 when I met Casey, and we had a bond right then and there, and you know what, we kept in contact. You know, we give each other, you know, shout outs and stuff when we after games and stuff. To see somebody that, you know, I basically looked at film and actually learned how to play the game, learn how to be a nose tackle, to play with him, that's an honor itself. So I'll see him again, hopefully, but you know, I don't want to see him again. I tell you, not in a Pro Bowl. Hopefully, I have to miss that one for other reasons, but we try to take it one game at a time, but it's an honor. Excuse me? I don't know. Every year I go in and try to get better. I can't answer that one. I mean, me personally, I beat myself up a lot. My wife would tell you that. Of, you know, certain plays I want to make that I didn't make. If it was, I didn't make the tackle, or I wasn't even near the ball. But it's just sometimes, you know, I just have to keep myself in check, humble myself, and I think that's why I'm the way I am, because, you know, I don't need Bill to yell at me to get me fired up. I yell at myself, you know what I mean? I find little things to get myself fired up. I always try to get better, and I think there's a lot of guys on this team do the same thing. So that's, I don't know if it's the best season in the hack. Yeah, like I said, when I signed up for 6 years, and I'm gonna honor that. All year, I've been playing and never thought twice about what I was doing, because if I thought twice about it, I wouldn't be doing it. It's easy to get caught up in 6 years. It's your last. You should not be playing. It's your last year. I can easily took that rope, but that's not me. I love football. My teammates know that. My coaches know that. My family know that. That's the only thing that matters to me. They all understand that, and I'm truly believing. You do the right thing, it'll work itself out, and I'm sticking by that. It'll work itself out sooner or later. It'll come to a time where it have to work itself out, and whatever happens, happens. But that's how I'm gonna take it. I've been taking it like that, and I'm gonna continue to take it the same way. Address it at the end of the year at the football, and go forward from there. Well, I have nothing to do with the Colts. I mean, everything we're doing is Patriot related, so I really don't care what the Colts have done. We going to win. We want to win. That's point blank. I'm pretty sure my teammates feel the same way. So that's how we're approaching this game, just like any other. We're going to go out there. We're going to prepare. We're going to practice hard, practice the right way. Don't get no bad habits, and put it together on Sunday. Hopefully, we can come out with a W. And whatever happens after that happens, but we definitely want to win, point blank. Day to day, I'm getting better. I'll be back sooner rather than later. So, like I said, I'm getting better day to day. That's the only thing I can, you know, I don't try to look forward to the future, really. But day to day is how I take it. Every day I wake up, I see how I feel, you know, and go forward from that. But have been getting better. So hopefully I'll be out there quicker than later. I think a commitment. I really think focus level, preparation. I think everybody stepped up at the bat and basically put everything in every week, everything we had. I mean, and we're going to need that going forward. I think our focus level, I think our practice has been better. I think the younger guys are starting to come into their own. I think the leaders are starting to play better football. I just think everybody as a team and as a unit is basically doing one thing, and that's their job. And I think we got away from that at times this year. And when we did got away from it, we wasn't successful. And I think everybody understood if we do the thing the right way, what can happen. And I think everybody stepped up to the plate and started trusting one another. And it's been working out. It's been paying off for us. So we got to continue that. That's something that we as a team, we'll have to continue that, and every week we challenge each other. I mean, we come in on Wednesday, put in a game plan, and look at film. After film, we go through what we went through. The next day, we do the same thing. We make the corrections and move on. Everybody know, the focus level have to be higher around here, and I think everybody's doing their best to do it. And I think for the most part, we've been on the right track. At first it was. I can't lie. At first it was, because never been in this situation. Like I said, it's a problem. I could have talked to hundreds of people about it. But I talked to certain people, and everybody had a different answer. So it basically boiled down to whatever, what I want to do, what's best for me and my family. And my family, you know, my wife, she put it on my shoulders. She said, hey, what's best for you? You make the decisions. And she know how much I love football. And right then and there, I say, you know what? It's football. I say, and like I said, I'm a truly believer in everything work itself out. I'm sticking behind that one. So once I put it behind me, it was behind me. I didn't look back. I don't have no regrets. If I had to do it all over again, I'd do the same thing. I wouldn't change a thing.
Real quick following that, then. This must be a hell of a reward for you putting faith in yourself and faith in the game. Go out there and say,
yeah, I mean, like I say, every day I try to get better. I try to get better. I'm a ball player. I'm not the greatest by a long shot. But, you know, one thing I do, I put a lot of effort. I put a lot of time in football. I put a lot of time in over here. Sometimes I don't want to be here. I want to be home with my family. But, it's just something in me. It's just for the best for my teammates and myself. I have to be over here. And I do. I make those decisions and move forward with them. So it was tough at first, but once it got going, I really blocked it out. And you know what? I want to thank you guys, because I'm pretty sure you guys want to ask me all the time about it, but you haven't. And I appreciate that dearly. I mean, you don't understand, because it's one thing going in the locker room and have to answer here every week something about a contract. You guys gave me my space, and I appreciate that. So you helped me out with that one big time. But if I had to do it all over, I'd do it the same way. I don't. At the end of my career, I can look back at, you know, the success I had, the team I was surrounded by, teammates, the coaches, and think about it then. But right now, I'm just happy to play football. I don't think about after football, really, you know, because I still got a little more time to play and enjoy the game. So I try not to, you know, look into the Hall of Fame and all that stuff. So when that time comes, it comes. I mean, I can only do what I can do, be the best player I can be, you know, and every day try to get better. So I'll continue that the rest of my career, no matter what situation may be. That's me. I'll move forward. Now I'll play football as long as I love it. The day I start loving football is the day I hang my cleats up. So I'm far from that right now. Thank you.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun and back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Also is a selection for the Pro Bowl for the New England Patriots, as we've now heard from Will Fork and Welker. And, you know, he's sort of a quiet leader, if you will, but you could make the argument that he's had at least as good, if not better, year than anybody else on the Patriots' offensive line. And certainly from the numbers point of view, somebody probably from that offensive line deserves to make it. It's his second Pro Bowl, his first since 2007. He is the first Patriots guard to earn a Pro Bowl selection since 1985, when Hall of Famer John Hanna, of course, went to his ninth straight Pro Bowl, but Mankins and Hanna are the only Patriots guards to get into the Pro Bowl since the 1970 AFL-NFL merger. Mankins is in his fifth season with the team, was selected in the first round of the 05 draft. He started all 15 games this far this season. He has never missed an NFL game, starting all 79 of his career games. And, of course, he's a part of an offensive line that has kept Tom Brady's jersey relatively clean this year. 16 sacks through the first 15 games were all not a hit. Not a single hit this past week in the 35-7 win over Jacksonville. So, earlier today, here's Logan Mankins on his selection for the 2009 Pro Bowl team.
How's it going?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Any relate to the season with this as the first Pro Bowl?
No. If you play good throughout the season, it usually takes care of itself. So you're just worried about yourself and helping the team. And then if you do a good enough job, people will recognize it. You know, I think a little bit. There was a few stretches there last year where I wasn't too happy with the way I was playing, but this year I've been pretty happy with everything except for a few snaps here and there, a few penalties. I think just being more consistent, I think focused more on my technique, and I think I'm playing better, being more patient, I'm blocking. Yeah, well, the last four games have been pretty good for us. We haven't given up too many pressures and no sacks, so we're happy about that, and that's what we strive to do every game. We want no pressures and no sacks, but we know the other team's getting paid too, and they have good players and good rushers, and the last 4 weeks we've just came out on top in that situation. Well, I was happy. I think you're always happy when something like that happens, and you never know if you're going to make it or if you're not, but you always, you're pretty excited that your peers recognize you and the coaches and the fans, and then it's a great honor. Not everyone gets to go, so it's pretty special. Plus, you get a bonus. That's always nice. Yeah, there's no stats really to judge us on. It's just not too many fans probably go on the site and vote for linemen. So a lot of it comes down to the guys you play against and what they see you do, and all the coaches that watch you all year and how they vote. So I think a lot of it comes down to the players and coaches. You know, I don't know. I watch a lot of guards during the week, so guys I like to watch. I like to watch Dielman. He also made it from San Diego. I think he plays a lot like me, hitting people after the whistle and playing dirty, so I enjoy watching guys like that. Plus, I've gotten to know him a little, so I like him too. But, you know, there's a lot of good players throughout the league, and there's probably guys that deserve to make it too but didn't, and hey, they might get their shot down the road. Yeah, I don't know. There's not too many.
Well, the last question about the Sunday game. As a team, how much do you and the rest of the Patriots owe the other teams battling the Texans for playoff spots to give it your best effort this weekend? And also, do you have any comments on the Colts' decision to pull their starters last?
Well, to start with us, I don't think we owe them anything. We put ourselves in this position, and that was by winning games throughout the year. And if they didn't want to have to count on us to win games, they shouldn't have lost games. I think we were in the same position last year where we needed a team to lose, and that was no one's fault but our own. So whenever you're counting on other teams to win for you, you're in a bad situation. And the comment on the Colts, I really don't have any comment on them. I'm just worrying about the Texans this week, and the Colts, they can do whatever they want to do. Yeah, not so much watch film. I've seen just the highlights on TV of him. But, yeah, John, he was a special player from what I've heard. And Dante was here, my O-line coach, when John played. So he's told me a lot about John. And then I've talked to John a lot. And I don't think anyone has anything bad to say about the way that guy played football. So he was a special player. No. I think he knew that I knew how to play football when I got here, and he just let me do what my coaches tell me to do and what I think I need to do. And he says he likes the way I play, and the way I play must be the right way. So if John likes it. Well, a little luck, too. Haven't got rolled up on too many times or had any unlucky plays where someone takes me out. So luck and then just hard work. I want to be out there. I feel it's my job to be here and playing, and I want to be on the field. I don't want to ever have to watch a game. So I want to do what it takes to be out there, and hopefully I could be out there every game. Yeah, you think about it. You see other guys signing extensions, and you wish you were one of those guys with an extension, but it is what it is, I guess. You'll have to ask the powers that be around here if I'm going to get one or not, because I don't know. Yeah, we've been together for quite a while now, and I'd like to continue it. They're good guys in the locker room, off the field, and on the field. So we've won a lot of games around here together, and I'd like to keep us together. Yeah, I don't know. It's all right. We went to Hawaii a few years ago, so my wife got to cross that one off the list, and now I get a free trip to Miami, so she can cross that one off the list, too. Hell no. No. Yeah, I've played in the Pro Bowl, so I'll give that one up to try to win another Super Bowl. That would be a lot more special. I think after just missing it last year, I was the first alternate, I think. So after missing it last year and getting back this year, it feels pretty good to be back. No, he told me congratulations and that I earned it and deserved it. So, you know, Dante, he doesn't say too much unless it's really needed. So, but I know he's proud of me, so that feels good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. You know, we got a lot of older guys that have been here for a while, so I don't think there's really one guy that leads the group. We all lead by different ways. Some guys talk a little bit more, and some guys just go out and grind it out, and
I think the younger guys, they need to be spoken to, and see the older guys that have been here for a long time. They need to see our work ethic, that just because we've been here, we don't just go out there and jog around. We actually put in the work and do what it takes to last, and I think that's the best way to lead young guys. Thanks, sir.
Somewhat of Patriots playbook from South Bend, Indiana today, with some other duties to get off to, and you've got a chance now to listen to the reactions from the Patriots Pro Bowl players. Don't forget, of course, you know, recorded stuff, interviews and repeats for you tomorrow, being New Year's Eve, and the same on Friday with Patriots Friday programming coming up for the Patriots and the Houston Texans wrap up the regular season on Sunday in Houston. And of course, with the Patriots getting into the first round of the playoffs, they'll host an AFC wildcard game the following week, so we'll be back regular schedule inside the playbook starting next Tuesday. So enjoy the game. We'll see if the Patriots win. A lot of it will probably depend on whether or not how long the starters will play and whether or not Houston's still motivated to still have a mathematical chance at least at getting into their first playoff spot. So we'll see how that turns out. But one way or the other, we'll talk to you next Tuesday inside the playbook.